Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? For we saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Verses 1 through 12, Matthew chapter 2. Then looking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Verses 1 through 20, Luke chapter 2. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of being able to celebrate your birth so long ago as a baby. You came into the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as God our Creator, born as a baby. But you grew up, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for our sins, and 3 days later rose again from the dead, so that we could be saved. Thank you for being our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our Savior, our all in all. Father, thank you for the wonderful gift that you are and always will be to the world. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace as the church to help us to be faithful to carry the good news that you are our Savior to the world as we should. We thank you and praise you for that privilege. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son. Thank you so much for salvation. Thank you so much for healing. Thank you so much for your presence. Heavenly Father, you came down in the form of a man to love us where we are. You came to love us while we were still sinners, while we were still rebels, while we were still at odds with you. And thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for your loving kindness. Help us to dwell on that in these moments, to dwell on your love and your compassion, and help us to overflow with that as well. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're very honored and blessed to have with us as our phone guest today, Peter Rosenberg. He's the host of a great program here on American Family Radio called Hope for the Caregiver. It's a program that's especially encouraging and ministering to caregivers, but actually is encouraging to any believer under any circumstances as well. Peter, how are you today?
I am doing well, Brother Joseph. Isaac, thank you so much for letting me be a part of this program with you and for having an opportunity to talk to a group of listeners from AFR community that I haven't been able to talk to. My show airs at a little bit different time, and so it's a pleasure to talk with you. You know, my mother said something a while back. She listens to AFR regularly. She's got some vision problems now. She's 89 years old, almost 89. Mm-hmm. She can't see very well. And so she listens to AFR on her device at home, and she can turn it on, just voice activated and so forth. I'm not going to say the name of it because it'll turn on everybody's devices that are listening. But she said, I can wake up. And my father recently went on to be with the Lord about a year and a half ago. And she took care of him and as the family, as he struggled with Parkinson's. And she said, you know, I could get up in the middle of the night, and at any point of the night, I could turn on AFR and hear somebody tell me about Jesus, mm-hmm. hear somebody tell me about God's love for me. And she said, it is such a treasure for me. And I would imagine, I won't grill her because I don't know how her memory would serve, but I would imagine she's heard you in the dark watches of the night.
Well,
and,
praise
so
the Lord.
I thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And it's just a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and just kind of the unique mission. You know, I say unique mission, but at the same time, the messages that you share are good encouragement for any believer actually under any circumstances, as well as the sort of target audience that you minister to as well. So would you take time, Peter, to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners about the mission and the ministry behind Hope for the Caregiver, the broadcast.
I will. I talk to caregivers. I talk to people who take care of people who are dealing with a chronic impairment. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm a grandparent. I take care of my grandkids. Well, it's not the same because mm-hmm. there is the expectation that your grandchildren will grow up and be able to be independent and have agency and so forth. The people I talk to someone who's not going to get better, who's not going to be able to necessarily make those kinds of choices or live an independent life. And in my case, I've been doing it for 40 years now for my wife who had a severe car accident before I met her. And then the surgeries just kept multiplying throughout our life. She's had in her lifetime now 98 surgeries, 11 of them just this year. Mm-hmm. We had two surgeries that we had planned in Denver. We live in Montana, and we went down to Denver, a teaching hospital there, and those two surgeries developed complications and turned into another nine. So she had 11 surgeries this year alone. Mm-hmm. Both of her legs are gone, and she lives with a pretty severe reality. Mm-hmm. And in that journey, I've learned a lot about love, faith, life, God, and things, as you could imagine. And so what I do is try to offer those things that I have learned in a way that means something. I was speaking in North Carolina not too long ago, Joseph, and I got on, I it was at a Parkinson's conference, and I'm that's very near and dear because my father struggled with that. But when I travel to speak, I go in and out really quickly. I mean, I can't be gone long, and I always have somebody here to stay with Gracie. But I got on the shuttle bus and went to the rental car place, and I noticed the accent from the driver, and I could tell he wasn't from Lower Alabama. And I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Kenya." And I spoke to him a few phrases in Swahili. And you should see the way his face lit up. You know, he couldn't believe that this white guy in North Carolina getting on a bus there knew Swahili. And I don't know a lot, but I know enough to be able to at least say something. And while we were in the hospital with my wife, there was a CNA there, and I could tell by her accent that she was most likely from sub-Saharan West Africa. We work with prosthetics over there with a mission that we started, Standing with Hope. And we, Gracie, after she lost her legs, wanted to put legs on her fellow amputees, and we work in Ghana. And I said, "Where are you from?" She said, "I'm from Ghana." And so I spoke to her in the language they speak there in Ghana. And her face just lit up, and she said, "How do you know my language?" And I thought, this is what I do for fellow caregivers. I speak fluent caregiver. And when I speak to caregivers, they're so used to the troubling things in their heart, and they feel isolated. When you don't know the language, you feel cut off. You feel isolated. And so when I go into their suffering, into their heartache, and into their circumstances, and I speak in a way that they understand and help them understand the things of God in a way that they may not have been able to connect. We have so many people preaching from our pulpits about the prosperity gospel, but we don't understand that Christ called us to take up our cross and follow him, not our crown, not our throne, not our podium, not our big ministry, but our cross. And when you speak to people who are caring for somebody like that in a way they understand, you should see the look on their faces. And that's what I do on my program. That's what I do in my books, in my articles, when I speak in to live audiences. And as I've learned to speak fluent caregiver, and I've also helped put all this down in my books and so forth, so that I lay these things out in a way that caregivers understand. In some respects, they're using my stuff as a textbook for caregivers. As that has happened, I can't help but think about, while I've had to learn to speak caregiver, it's our Savior's native tongue. It's who he is. He is the ultimate caregiver of a wounded bride. And we are the bride of Christ, and we are a wounded, messed up bride, aren't we? And yet he is the ultimate caregiver, and it is his native language. And it is such a privilege to be able to sit down with someone who is taking care of a special needs child or an aging parent or somebody with addiction or mental illness or whatever, and to be able to walk them through God's redemptive work to say, no, he's not abandoned you. He meets you in this. That's what you just read about in the Christmas story, Joseph, is that he put on flesh. He came into our trauma. He came into our broken, fallen estate. Emmanuel, that is the one word that penetrates everything. It is the word, God with us. And so that's what brings me to AFR each week. That's what inspires me to do this, because I have, in my own loneliness and isolation and difficulties in taking care of somebody who suffers for 40 years, I have discovered his great promises are not only true, they are exceedingly true, if that makes sense.
Amen. We're going to jump up right here, coming into the break, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our guest today is Peter Rosenberg. He's the host of Hope for the Caregiver, a program here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Mourns in lonely exile here. until the Son of God.
Music of Babbie Mason with Christmas Medley. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for being a part of our listening family. Our guest today is Peter Rosenberg. He's the host of Hope for the Caregiver, a great broadcast here on the American Family Radio Network. Peter, as we begin this segment, would you take time now specifically to pray for our listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Father God, thank you for the privilege of just being able to sit down with brothers and sisters and come before you. As Babbie sang so beautifully, come, O come, Emmanuel. We have no hope, Father, without your redeeming grace. And we bring nothing to the equation but the sin that required our salvation. And you stooped so low to come to us, to speak to our hearts peace. And we can have peace with you, Father, because of the amazing redemptive work of Christ. There are people listening right now, Father, that are carrying terrible burdens, hard things, tough things. And in this moment, in this time, just here on the radio, may they be encouraged, may they be strengthened, may they know that they are not alone, that even beyond radio and ministries and such like this, Father, that you are with them. You are near to the brokenhearted. And your eye is not blind that you cannot see. Your ear is not deaf that you cannot hear. Your arm is not short that you cannot save. And we are grateful for this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Peter. Now, Peter, you're going to share some music with us today, Christmas music, correct?
Well, I have the caregiver keyboard, I call it, and I've been going through a hymn series on my program on hymns that every caregiver ought to know. I started off with 30, and I think it's going to go to 300.
Okay.
And I tell the story behind it because there's so many. What we've done, by the way, I love that with Babbie Mason. A friend of mine used to, we lived in Nashville for many years, and he used to write songs with her and play for her. Man, what a voice. Mm-hmm. What a voice. We have shelved a lot of our hymns. We've done a disservice to so many in our churches. We don't pull out the hymnals and look through this rich text we have. And also the music. We don't know how to sing parts anymore. We don't need to know how to sing harmony anymore. We don't see the beautiful prose that's written. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, written by Charles Wesley. And we owe an amazing debt to Charles Wesley for the hymns that he's written. He didn't start out with that turn. It was Hark the Welkins, which was the announcement there, but it didn't really sing very well. And a guy named George Whitefield, I think, came and helped polish it up a little bit. Charles Wesley didn't always like his stuff edited, but George turned it into Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and it became a staple for everything at Christmas. There's a stanza. Charles was known for writing lots and lots of stanzas for his hymn. Fix in us thy humble home, rise the woman's conquering seed. Now, where's that from? When he says, rise the woman's conquering seed. That's from Genesis 3, when God promised that the seed of the woman. And then he said to the serpent, you're going to bruise his head, but he's going to bruise your heel. I mean, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. And Charles Wesley wrote in there, fix in us thy humble home, rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. In other words, that wickedness that's in us, bruise that. Adam's likeness now effaced, stamp thine image in its place, second Adam from above. Paul talked about Christ as the second Adam, the greater Adam, reinstate us in thy love. And I just, you know, I love that hymn. I'm not going to try to sing right now, Joseph.
All right.
You could sing.
I'll let Isaac sing, but it's okay.
Peace on earth. God and sinners reconciled. And I just love just to hold this out. Joyful, all ye nations come. Join the triumph of the skies. Here's an interesting thing that a lot of people didn't know, may not know, that the only time in all of recorded biblical history that the angels came out in mass to, as a host to sing, was at the birth of Christ. Not at the resurrection. There were angels there. Mm-hmm. But when they came out to sing, and it was that, and you look at that, you see that on the scope of everything, all the way back in Genesis 3, that God promised this would happen. Mm-hmm. And all hell tried to stop that from happening. And yet God shepherded that line, and he wove in the most unlikely people to be participant in the line of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that genealogy, and you could see that. You could see Rahab, the prostitute. Mm-hmm. You could see David and Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. And you could see all these individuals, and God superintended all of this. And the reason this is, this just weighs heavy on me is as I realize that even with hell coming against it, mm-hmm. even with all the sins of man, the grievous sins of man, God uses sin sinlessly. He is superintending all this, called the doctrine of divine concurrence. What we mean for evil, God works to good. Okay. Joseph said that to his brother. What you meant for evil, mm-hmm. God meant for good. And that it is all subject to his authority. And so when he did what he said he was going to do, nothing had ever, no, this is the singular event in all of human history, all of history, in all of the universe, is that God wrapped himself in flesh. He said it, he promised it, he did it. And that's when the angels just came out and just erupted in praise. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. And what a hymn. It's one of the greatest hymns ever. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild he lays his glory by, he shelved his glory. Born that man may no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Boy, Charles Wesley could write a hymn, couldn't he?
Praise God. Praise God. Would you share with our listeners, Peter, if someone wants to both listen to the Hope for the Caregiver broadcast, when they can listen, as well as if they'd like to be in touch with you or learn more about you and your ministry?
Well, the website is hopeforthecaregiver.com. It'll take you out to my website. You can see all the things I've got going on out there, books, music, all types of things, my blog, my articles, and so forth. And then if you want to listen on the program, it's every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central. And then it's rebroadcast again on Sunday nights, I believe, at 10 Central on AFR. And then you can always get the podcast, and that's out of my website as well, hopeforthecaregiver.com. And we've been on the air for well over 8 years at AFR. Been on the air for, I think 13 years total. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I started doing this program years ago, before I even came to AFR, and I went to a big radio station in Nashville, and they said, "We don't think this is going to work. How are you going to fill up an hour talking about caregivers?" And I went to a smaller radio station when they wouldn't take the show. And then they called me 8 months later. We've been listening to your show. We understand now. Mm-hmm. And we're getting ready to have our 300,000th download. Mm-hmm. Probably this week. Mm-hmm. And the need is so great. There are so many people out there who are struggling, particularly this time of year, Joseph. It's just, mm-hmm. it's a hard time of year. It may be the last one with a family member, or you feel that pressure to make sure everything's right. I've got an article coming out this weekend about when Gracie and I spent Christmas in the hospital 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she had she's had 17 surgeries in the last 6 years and 2 3-month plus stays. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. 3 3-month plus stays. And so it's just been a bit of a brutal journey. And I wrote about spending Christmas in the hospital. I brought the key. A friend of mine let me borrow a keyboard and I put that in the hospital room with us. And we played carols mm-hmm. there while she was in her hospital bed. And we won best decorated room that year mm-hmm. at the hospital because we had the stockings hung by the nurse's board with care. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where I recognize how difficult it is. And that's what I'm drawn to, particularly this time of year, because God saw our affliction. You know, the story of Hagar in the Old Testament,
yes.
when she was driven out in the wilderness because, she couldn't get along with Sarah, and she and her son went out there and they're going to go die. And she sent him away somewhere so she didn't have to watch him die. Mm-hmm. And it said, the angel of the Lord appeared and comforted and strengthened her and bolstered her and told her to go back. And the only name for God that is used throughout all scripture right there, El Roy, the God who sees, the God who sees. That's what she said. He's El Roy, the God who sees. Mm-hmm. And I would say to you and to Isaac and to myself and to listeners, he is the God who sees.
Right.
He sees us in our affliction. He sees this. And this is what he did about it. Mm-hmm. And it is magnificent. And that's what they call that when Mary just erupted in praise when the angel told her what you read earlier. And they call it the Magnificat. My soul just praises God. That's what she did. And she just erupted into praise. And I heard a great quote one time that good theology always leads to a doxology.
Mm-hmm.
Good theology praise always God. Leads to a doxology. So you'll see Peter and the Apostle Paul, when they were writing, they would proclaim these magnificent truths about God. And then in the middle of their thought, they just erupt in praise.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing here, is just erupting in praise because we see the magnificence of God. And even in our affliction, even in suffering, even with 98 surgeries, even with both legs amputated, I watched my wife praising God. The other night, I built an addition here at our home that is more handicap accessible for her, and we actually moved our piano into the bedroom. I didn't want her to have to leave the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and I was playing for her, and she's singing, Mary, did you know? Mm-hmm. And then she said, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will walk again. And then that part says, and the lame will leap. She says, I will leap. Mm-hmm. I will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. I will leap, because she doesn't have any legs. Mm-hmm. And she knows that this is not the end of the story.
That's right.
And that is why we praise. That is why we do these things. We're not, it's not that we don't see the anguish, because we certainly see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we don't feel the anguish, because we certainly feel it. And there was one point in the hospital when she was struggling with such deep pain, Joseph, and she was clock watching because she knew she couldn't get pain medicine until a certain time, and she was really struggling. I mean, Gracie lives mm-hmm. with a very broken body.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her, I said, baby, we can't get any more until this time. We're going to have to tough it out, and I'm sorry. And her big eyes filled with tears, and I looked at her, and I said, if they say that when you took the Apostle Paul's tunic off, he had 195 scars where he was beaten.
Mm-hmm.
40 times minus one, 5 different times he was beaten like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she kind of jutted her chin out a little bit. She said, I'm not the Apostle Paul. And I took her hand and I said, no, baby, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But the same spirit that sustained him
mm-hmm.
will sustain you.
That's right.
And I will say this to your listeners here. The same spirit that sustained Paul and all the ones that came before us will sustain you in this. He who began a good work in you is what? He is faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. If he can save us, he can keep us and preserve us. And that doctrine is called the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that he owns us, he bought us, and he will see us through this thing. And it may be painful now, and it is for so many of us. But Paul testified so greatly, it's not worthy to be compared to what awaits us in Christ Jesus. So we persevere. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, God and sinners reconciled.
Praise God. And to your point, there's so much powerful and rich theology in so many of the Christmas hymns that we're wise to take time and really listen through, because they're not just pretty songs. They're songs with great truths found throughout them. So you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest today is Peter Rosenberg. He's the host of Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him a room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
The music of Mercy Me with Joy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Father, thank you, Lord, for your church, we, the body of Christ in the world. Thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to share the gospel with the world that desperately needs to hear it, and to love people where they are. Lord, anoint the church as a whole with a fresh anointing to seek to creatively be always listening to the Holy Spirit, to find new ways to reach out to caregivers, their patients, and persons who have special needs, and others who sometimes, sadly, are overlooked by the world. Help us to know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit doesn't overlook anyone. Help us to be wise enough to listen to him and follow his direction as he teaches us how to creatively love the world that needs to be loved by you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, our guest is Pete Rosenberg. He's the host of Hope for the Caregiver. Peter, tell our listeners one more time if they want to catch Hope for the Caregiver or if they want to be in touch with you and learn more about your ministry, how to do that.
Just go to hopeforthecaregiver.com, and you can listen every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern on American Family Radio, Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern for the rebroadcast, on demand on my podcast, which is all out at my website, hopeforthecaregiver.com. Or just Google the words caregiver, comma Peter, and you'll find me.
All righty then. Okay, and anything further you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I want to go back to Joy to the World, which Mercy Me was singing there. Okay. That is one of the greatest texts for, I think, so much of what we're dealing with. And I'll go to it on the caregiver keyboard here.
Okay.
Some of your listeners are piano students, know how to play the piano, play the keyboard, or... It's a if you just basically go to the major scale, and this is the gospel. And this is that's just a I played in the key of D. That's just a D major scale. Isaac Watts wrote the lyrics of that, who wrote, you know, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross and so many other great hymns. And then, of course, Handel wrote the music to that, mm-hmm. Who composed the Messiah. But what I want to do is, there's a line in there in the fourth verse, far as the curse is found. Repeat the sounding joy. And then it goes to, far as the curse is found. In other words, the curse has permeated everything. And wherever we find the curse, we recognize that God triumphs over all of this. And that's everything. Even our, you know, we have a wonderful dog that it was my wife's support animal, and he was an Australian Shepherd, wonderful dog. Mm-hmm. And we had to bury him and had to put him mm-hmm. down. It was just, it was awful. Mm-hmm. It was just awful. And I looked at her and I took her hand and I said, his name was Mac. And I said, even Mac, as precious as he is subject to the curse. Mm-hmm. But far as the curse is found, redemption is here because of the work of God through Christ. Mm-hmm. And that is the message for all going into this time. I just did an article this morning's out on Blaze Media. I write every week for them. Mm-hmm. And I talked about what happened with Rob Reiner and his wife. They were killed by their own son. And I talk about the challenges for families that are dealing with addiction. And this time of year is very, very hard for families who are dealing with a loved one who has a drinking problem or a drug problem. Mm-hmm. And what we as believers can do for that, what we can do is we can go in. People say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, here's what you say. You start off with this. You look at that family member whose eyes are probably so weary with crying. And you say, I see you. And I see the magnitude of what you carry. And I hurt with you. Stay with them and do it again the next day. Mm-hmm. Don't just try to tie it up in a nice bow and say, let me know if there's something you can do. Just let me know if there's something I can do for you. When people say that to me and Gracie over the years, and we've had many of them say it. And I'm thinking, now I got to think of something for you to do. And hope that you're going to do it. And hope that you're going to do it right. Mm-hmm. Don't say that to people. You go and sit with them. You be with them. Be present with them. You go back and look at Job 2:13. One of the greatest verses, my favorite verse in the book of Job, or one of them. And they sat with him silent for 7 days because they saw his suffering was horrible. Mm-hmm. They were aghast. But they sat there with him. They just sat silent. Then they opened their mouths to speak, and then it went off the rails. For 30-something chapters, God allowed bad theology to be on display while they try to figure out why this happened to Job. Mm-hmm. And God never told them why he did it. He never told Job why he did it. He showed up in the whirlwind, and that was enough, his presence. He doesn't give us answers. He gives us his presence. What kind of answers is he going to give to me and Gracie for us to smack our foreheads and say, oh, okay, now I understand. I feel better about this, Lord. He's not going to do that. We can't process how big this is and what's going on in his purposes. So we trust him because he showed up in our distress. And I know that there are listeners right now. I know that some of you are looking... are so discouraged. I know you are. And I've been there where you just want to just get through Christmas. Sometimes I think my favorite holiday is Arbor Day because there's no parade, there's no gifts, there's no meals. You just plant a tree, say a prayer, water the tree, and walk off. Nobody gets hurt. You know, no drama. But at the holidays, there's always drama. And the nostalgia and everything else. But my prayer is that for each of us this year, that it will be a tremendous time of awareness. Remember this, he doesn't give explanations, but he gives assurance and his presence. Mm-hmm. And that is something to hang on to. Hold on to that, because his presence is what the entire, not presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but presence. Mm-hmm. That's what the entire Christmas season is all about. Mm-hmm. And we're in the middle, as this show is airing, we're in the middle of Advent right now. Mm-hmm. And Advent is that season where we look back to his first coming, but we have the tension knowing that he's going to come again, but we're in that in-between place. That's and right. So we're longing for that. And that's why you have that great hymn, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." I love that one. Get Isaac to sing this. And then, and there's a line in there that says, "Israel's consolation." You know what? And you know what that's from? That's another Charles Wesley. When that old man Simon, I think, or Simeon, was in the temple when they brought Jesus to be presented and circumcised, and he'd been waiting. He told he wasn't going to die until he saw God's Messiah. Mm-hmm. And here Mary and Joseph show up with baby Jesus, and his heart just leaped. And there's that tender moment. He said, "Israel's hope and consolation." Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what that's from. This is our consolation. Not consolation like, okay, there. Not that kind of consolation. This is our anchor. Mm-hmm. That we belong to him.
That's right.
And I had to look through the ICU window many times this year. And I looked at my wife in bed there with tubes, and she was brought down so low. And this is a woman who has stood with presidents and sang. Mm-hmm. And she was brought down so low. And I asked myself a question that was often asked before we would say as a congregation, you know, the Apostles' Creed. I came from a church background that has a confessing background, which we confess a creed. What do we believe? And the pastor would say, "Christian, what do you believe?" And we said, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." And I had to look through that ICU window, mm-hmm, and say to myself, "Christian, what do you believe?" And so I say to you, Joseph, to you, Isaac, to you as listeners, Christian, what do you believe? Do we believe this or not? We have plenty of people out there on the airwaves telling you you're going to get your breakthrough. We got plenty of people out there promising you that you're going to get this and this and this. And they talk about all this prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all. We have the greatest gift given to us that trumps all of this, that trumps 98 surgeries and both legs amputated. Mm-hmm. And I will leave you with this story. In the middle of this time right there, they had to the plastic surgeons had to come in and rework Gracie's leg, and it was pretty big surgery. It was reconstructive on the top part of her leg. She's missing the bottoms, and I got over there just as the surgical resident taking out the sutures. Mm-hmm. She was laying down, and she asked me to help her sit up, and I helped her sit up, and the whole thing just opened. Mm-hmm. The whole leg, and it was like almost a foot long and 4 inches wide. And it reminded me that day why I was not a surgeon. Mm-hmm. And Gracie's about ready to have a panic attack. And I help her lay back down. I quickly called the nurses, told them to call the surgical team. And I went on the other side of the bed so they could come in right to, it's on her left leg, and they could come right to the leg. And I'm holding her, and this thing is opened completely up. Mm-hmm. Just like it was zippered open kind of mm-hmm. thing. And I grabbed her hand, and I looked at her, and I said, "Just look at me, baby. Don't look down. Just look at me." Mm-hmm. And the only thing that came to my life and to my mind in that moment was that little song, "In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified." You know that one?
Not sure.
"In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified, Be Glorified." And I started singing that, and she started singing it with me.
Mm. Okay.
And then all these nurses and surgeons came in, and they're all gathered around, a whole bunch of them. And she's still singing this. And then she started singing, "In my leg, Lord, be glorified." Now, they've heard patients cuss, scream, fuss, throw up, everything else. But I guarantee you, they never heard someone say, "In my leg, Lord, be glorified today." That's all right. Our prayer.
Well, Peter, our time is about gone here, though. But thank you so much for being with us today. And I'm in the way of encouragement, every listener, please take the time to listen to the powerful broadcast called Hope for the Caregiver that our brother Peter Rosenberg does host. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day. Today is a great day. This season of the year, Advent season, Christmas time, is a wonderful time to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer and commit your heart and your life to the Lord today? Would you pray it with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I can be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, we're calling on your name. Lord, save us, fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Again, joseph@afr.net. And please pray much for Peter Rosenberg and the work and the mission and ministry of Hope for the Caregiver.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.